Come on. Good morning. Welcome to this place of worship this Sunday morning. I'm excited to be here, and it sounds like a lot of you are excited to see each other and to chat about things, so that's good. Welcome to anybody who's a visitor here. Bloomin' Art's a special place, and we just are glad that you're here. Yeah. If anybody has an announcement, nobody has really talked to me, but if you have an announcement that you need to make, please make your way up to the front, and I'll let you do that. Other than that, we'll highlight a few of them here. Just a couple of things to note. If you look in your bulletin, the fall annual meeting is coming up November 11th, so please try to make it to that. It's a pretty important thing. I'll let Jake make his announcement, and then I'll highlight a few more.
I put up on a bulletin or some information in the bulletin board. If anybody's interested in doing some volunteer work, there are lots and lots of opportunities with MDS till Christmas time, or even beyond, whether it's for a week or whether it's for 2 weeks, whether you want to go to the East Coast or the West Coast or straight south, there's opportunities. So it's up in the bulletin board. There's phone numbers, addresses, whatever, contact people. Hopefully somebody with all their spare time or whatever can make use of that. Thanks.
That's a great opportunity. Thanks, Jake. There's a few other things in the bulletin to take note of. We're looking for possibly another crib for the nursery and some high chairs. We have a lot of babies that will be growing in the next and needing those things in the next little while. So if you have any of those, please contact Heidi Hool or my wife, Cassie. There's a grocery shower this afternoon in honor of Christina, Cindy, and Kim. Take note of that if you're wanting to bring them some groceries. Come on down. I think it's just for ladies, but that's probably just because only ladies use groceries, right? Just kidding. That's all good. A few more community announcements. MCI has their soup and pie coming up. Check that out. And there's also, at the bottom of that, inside of that page there, there's a Singing in the Grain concert. And I just wanted to note that two people from our congregation, Riley Dick and Josh Drieger, will be singing with the CMU male choir in that. And so if you're interested in that, that's also this afternoon, though. So if you're not bringing groceries here, you're welcome to check that out. That's in Winkler at 3 o'clock at the Emmanuel Mennonite Church. And I think we'll let you look at the rest of those on your own, which will be great. One more quick note since I'm up here. I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who supports our youth ministry, whether financially or just with your prayers. We just really appreciate those. As you'll read in my report probably coming up, we've got about 7 to 10 youth that come pretty regularly to youth. And it's just been a pleasure to get to know them this year. They're a lot of fun. We had 7 come on a retreat this last weekend, and the youth leaders and I just really enjoyed connecting with them and each other, and it was just a really good time at Camp Barnes, spending time together. As I was preparing for this morning, I read through the scripture that Eric's going to be speaking on, and I was struck by the reality that God is leading and guiding us. Even before we accept the truth of the gospel, and he can redeem any story, and I'm thankful that he accepts us, including me, even though I make mistakes and need to bring those things to him often and to be reminded of the grace and freedom that he offers. It's amazing. As our call to worship this morning, I want to read an excerpt from The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. It's a compilation of insights from him through conversations and letters that have been recorded, and so I'm just going to turn there and read that. In this letter he says, "Dear friend, you aren't the only one to be distracted from the presence of God. I understand completely. Our minds are so flighty. However, remember that our God-given wills govern all of our strength. We must recall our minds to God, otherwise our spirits may wander, dragging us down to the things of this earth. I think the remedy for the problem is to confess our faults to God and humble ourselves before Him. It isn't necessary to be too verbose in prayer, because lengthy prayers encourage wandering thoughts. Simply present yourself to God as if you were a poor man knocking on the door of a rich man, and fix your attention on His presence. If your mind wanders at times, don't be upset, because being upset will only distract you more. Allow your will to recall your attention gently to God. Such perseverance will please Him. Another way to prevent the mind from wandering away from God during prayer is to train yourself to dwell in His presence all day long. This will provide a sort of practice for you as you remind yourself to concentrate on Him. Remaining in His presence during prayer time will thus become easier. You know from my other letters how advantageous I think it is to practice the presence of God. Let's take this act of loving God seriously and pray for one another. I remain your brother in Christ. And I realize as a parent of young children that for some of those in that stage of life, taking time to sit down and focus your thoughts doesn't happen very frequently necessarily and doesn't come very quickly. But I do know that there are moments that we can take to do that. And this morning as we gather for worship, I want to direct us to turning our attention back to God, because there's lots of things going on in our lives, lots of things happening that can take up space in our minds. And as we approach worship of our great God this morning, let us bring our faults to God, let us humble ourselves, and shift our focus from our failings to His mercies. We serve a God who is willing to forgive and who does the work of transforming our hearts and lives. Let's pray. God, thank You that You know all of our needs and are present in every situation that we go through. May we trust in Your Spirit for comfort, guidance, and grace in each situation, whether trial or joy. Release Your healing power through the Holy Spirit into the lives of those who are sick or suffering. Remind us of Your goodness again, God, and may we return to loving You as we first did when Your good news took root in our hearts. Amen. Come on up.
We're so excited to worship with you guys this morning. So I invite you to worship however you feel the most comfortable. I'm sitting today, so if you want to sit, go for it. If you want to stand, go for it. And let's just welcome God into this space.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that You bring. And when You walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at Your feet and worship You. When You walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that You bring. And when You walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at Your feet and worship You. We love You, we'll never stop. We can't live without You, Jesus. We love You, we can't get enough. All this is for You, Jesus. When You walk into the room, Sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. 'Cause we love you. We'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you. We'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest in His unchanging grace. When every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'm so glad I learned to trust thee,
precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'll just call up the ushers for the offering now.
You go before, I know that you've even gone to win my war. And you come back with the head of my enemy. You come back, you call it my victory. Ooh. You go before, I know that that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from the dry wilderness. It's all I did was praise. And all I did was worship. And all I did was bow down. And all I did was stay. Hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better your way. Hallelujah, great defender. So much better this way.
To find your truth, your mercy is the shade that I'm living in, and you restore my faith and my hope again.
All I do was praise, and all I do was worship. All I did was bow down, and all I did was stay still. Hallelujah, you have saved me, so much better your way. Great defender, so much better this way. Hallelujah, you have saved me, so much better your way. Hallelujah, great defender, so much better this way. When I thought I lost me, you knew I left me. You introduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. Cause when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You introduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. Cause when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You introduced me to your love. Picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. Hallelujah, you have saved me, so much better away. Great defender, so much better this way.
Thanks so much, Katrina and Paige. For our prayer time this morning, I'd like for everyone to take their hands and place them in front of themselves, face up, palms up, I mean. And we're going to pray just recognizing that all that we have is given to us by God. And we're going to take a few minutes to think about the reality that He takes all of our brokenness and all of our pain. And so we offer that to Him, and He gives us His life through Jesus. And so let's pray the prayer of the week. Living God, source of light and life, we come to you as broken members of your body. Your strength is our strength. Your health is our health. And your being is our being. Grant us your wisdom in our work, your love in our pain, and your peace in our hearts. Send your blessing on all those who care for the sick and those whom they serve, and give us the joy of everlasting life. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. I'd like to invite Kim Ginter for a children's feature. And all the kids can come up too.
Everyone? Did everyone have a good week?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was school?
Good.
Good. Raise your hand if you're not in school yet. Yeah? I'm a little jealous. It's been a busy week. So I have a question for you. Have you ever wished you could go back in time and do something over again and do it better? Has someone ever wished that? Yeah. I feel that way too. So I have a story about a time where I wish I could go back and do something and do it better and do something right. And yeah. So when I was 13, which was a couple of years ago, I was really, really upset with my parents. I got really mad at them. I'm not sure over what, I can't remember, but I was really upset. And so they sent me to my room, but I didn't want to go to my room, and they closed the door because they're like, hey, you got to cool off, you're too upset. And that didn't sit well with me, so I took a shoe and I threw it at the window at our door. And well, that still didn't make me very satisfied, so I did it again, and then I did it one more time, and then I broke a window, which is pretty crazy because, yeah, oh my goodness, yeah, I can't believe I did that, hey? I know, I still think about it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? So I guess it's pretty obvious. I wish I could go back in time, go back to my room, or go to my room, cool off, and then talk to my parents and not break their window, because that was not very kind or loving or smart. Do you know there's someone in the Bible by the name of Paul who did some pretty crazy stuff before he became a Christian? He was very rude, disrespectful, and did some really bad things to people that believed in Jesus. But you know what? He decided that he was going to accept God's love for him, and he and Jesus still accepted him and loved him. And you know what? When I broke that window, I didn't think Jesus loved me after that, and I thought I was, like, I did the worst thing, you know? Like, he would never forgive me for that, because that is, like, I was angry, and I did something wrong, and I thought I was so, so far from him. And you know what? That's so, so not true. You know, Jesus loves us when we do our best and when we are doing great, and he loves us when we are not doing well and we do things that are wrong. And that's just like Paul. Jesus loved him when he was so, so far from him, and he loved him even more when he came back to him. So I'm going to pray, and then you guys can go back to your seats. Father, thank you so much for these kids and just the heart they have for you. And Father, I just ask that you love them where they are today. And I ask that you continue to love them when they are far from you, and then they turn from you when they do something wrong, and that you just forgive them and you love them so well through that. And Father, I ask that you're with these kids for this week, and you just love them in every way, and yeah, give them a good week. Amen.
Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Thank you.
splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! I will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, and my heart will say how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! I will see how great is our God! How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! I will see how great is our God!
Please turn with me to 1 Timothy. If you have a smart device, you can open your Bible app. I won't judge you. Just don't check your emails. I'm watching you. 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I'll invite Erica.
I was having a good day this morning. Where did Dave go? Till Dave came in, and he came in with his Toronto Maple Leafs mug, and he had to remind me, I'd almost forgotten, that the Jets lost 2 to Toronto this week. Luckily for me, I still cheer for Toronto after the Jets, though. And also, thank you to Asher for giving me that grape just before I came up. I needed that little moisture in my throat. Thank you, Asher. Encounter Jesus. In 1884, philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche declared that God is dead. Friedrich was a German philosopher whose work had a profound influence on Western philosophy and modern intellectual history. He obviously didn't believe in God, so it makes me wonder whether his perceived influence was truly warranted. In the 1950s and 60s, this philosophy that he preached took root again. It did gain some traction, but in the end, it eventually almost died out. We are seeing more of that again now, people believing that there is no God or that he is dead. In 2012, the Newsboys came out with a song, "My God's Not Dead." The lyrics for the chorus say, "My God's not dead, he's surely alive, he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion." That was followed up by two movies titled "God's Not Dead" and "God's Not Dead 2," which created quite a stir in the secular world of entertainment. They were never seen as blockbuster movies, but I enjoyed watching them and thought that they did a good job of making a case for the fact that God is not dead. The intent was for the audience to be shown that there is a God who is alive and relevant for our world today. David P. Nolte is a pastor of the Crabtree Christian Church in Crabtree, Oregon, and he says, "You may say that God is dead, but my God is alive and well. I talked to him this morning. I talked to him as well. Did you?" Psalm 53 verse 1 says something interesting and provocative. "Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God." So why am I even saying this? We all believe in God, don't we? We know God is real. We know he's not dead. We know that God watches over us. We know he can do all things. We know that he cares for us and that he loves us unconditionally. Do we? Do we really know who God is? We hear and are taught about God all the time, but do we take what we hear to heart? Do we have a personal relationship with him? What kind of interaction takes place between him and us? How do we meet with him? How do we encounter God? What makes God real to us? In today's world, we hear more about me, about I. The emphasis is on what I can do, what I can accomplish, how important I am, and that I don't need help from anyone. We are selfish by nature, and that selfishness is being applauded by our society today. We are told we don't need God or a God. We don't need other people helping us. And helping other people, well, that's not that important. I'm first, I'm most important, and what I want to do, I should be doing. I look at my own life and I see that there's a lot of truth to that. I tend to think of what I want first. I like certain foods and specific places to go eat. I could eat pizza and burger and fries almost every day. When we want to do something, I usually gravitate to something that I really enjoy doing. It's more difficult to think of what others would enjoy and takes more effort to consider their needs and wants than just doing what I would prefer to do. The more we focus on I or me, the less connection we have with God. This makes it harder to build a relationship with him. This makes it harder to have an encounter with him. and it becomes more difficult to allow him to work through us to bring others to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. In our text, Paul talks about all the things he did. He says, I used to scoff at the name of Christ. I hunted down his people, harming them in every way I could. I did this because I didn't know any better. I didn't know who God was, and I didn't know about his great mercy towards us. His way of life, Paul's way of life, changed when he realized how merciful God had really been to him. We've all heard the story of Paul's dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. It's found in Acts 9, 3-6. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Now, some 30 years later, Paul writes, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Jesus Christ. When Paul met Jesus, his life changed dramatically. When we meet Jesus, something usually changes in our lives as well. The realization of God's great mercy and grace towards us can do that. It changed Paul, and it can change us if we're open to it. Just a quick reminder of what mercy and grace mean. Mercy means not getting the punishment we deserve. Grace means getting the forgiveness we do not deserve. The two go hand in hand, and we are therefore saved from wrath and saved to eternal life. Paul testified, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Can you think of a time when you received grace and mercy from someone? We usually associate these qualities with someone who has committed a crime and is shown some leniency by receiving a lighter sentence or not being incarcerated at all. At times, this can be beneficial to those who receive it because it can change their outlook about the crime they have committed and the consequences that they may or should have faced. These acts of kindness usually have a positive influence. They can change a person's way of life and the type of lifestyle that they once led. Each of us has been shown mercy and grace in different ways. When we realize we are sinners, when we have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, when we are able to overlook someone who has wronged us, someone who has hurt us, and if we are willing to forgive them and not hold a grudge, that is when we have realized what mercy and grace are all about. That is when we have encountered Jesus. Paul thought he was honoring God when he violently opposed and oppressed the followers of Jesus. He came to realize his unbelief and it was ignorance, and that he needed mercy and grace. He had come to know the truth. David Nolte says, sincere wrongdoing is still wrongdoing. Sincerity does not create truth, nor does it transform evil to good. We may convince ourselves that what we are doing is not wrong, but that doesn't make it right. Society tells us it's not wrong to have sex before marriage. Society tells us it's not wrong to be unfaithful to your spouse. Society says it's okay to choose your gender. Society is blinded to the negative effects these events have on a person's well-being. They don't realize or don't want to see what these choices will do to a person and to the people who are affected by these persons' decisions. Franklin Graham made some comments on the gender issue. He said the following: how did gender, something that is determined by chromosomes and anatomy, ever become flexible, fluid, or according to personal reference? Some have attempted to throw science and fact out the window, saying a person can be a man or a boy one day and decide to be a woman or girl the next. When it comes to male and female, biblical truth, science, and reality all align beautifully. Mankind can try to deny it, but that doesn't change the truth. God's desire for us is that we know the truth and that we follow the teachings of the Bible. He has given us guidelines to live by for a reason. He knows what's best for us. He knows that sin and wrongdoing are a natural part of human nature. So he has made sure that his mercy and his grace are sufficient for all. Paul said that the grace of the Lord was more than abundant. God's grace is always adequate. It's always operational, and it's not merely a kind feeling toward us. Grace saves us because we are saved by grace through faith and never by the works that we have done. Grace enables us to handle difficult trials because instead of removing Paul's thorn in the flesh, which was some unknown bodily ailment, God said, "My grace is sufficient." It was for Paul, and it can also be for us. The grace of God motivates us to minister to others. More correctly, I should say, the grace of God should motivate us to minister to others. In 2 Corinthians 8, 1-3, it says, "Now I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done for the churches in Macedonia. Though they have been going through much trouble and hard times, their wonderful joy and deep poverty have overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will." Sir James Simpson, a doctor from Edinburgh, Scotland, discovered chloroform. Chloroform was used as an antiseptic for people who underwent surgery. Some people claim that his was one of the most significant discoveries of modern medicine. Some years later, while lecturing at the University of Edinburgh, Dr. Simpson was asked by one of his students, "What do you consider to be the most valuable discovery of your lifetime?" To the surprise of his students, who had expected him to refer to the chloroform, Dr. Simpson replied, "My most valuable discovery was when I discovered myself a sinner and that it was Jesus, that Jesus Christ was my Savior." He encountered Jesus. Jesus became real to him. He wasn't afraid to admit it, and he recognized Jesus for who he was. Looking back on my life, where have I encountered Jesus? It sounds funny because I don't feel that old, but I guess age is creeping up on me, and after all these years, I have experienced some significant events in my life. I encountered Jesus early on in my life. I was taught who he was and what he could do for me by my parents, my Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, and the ministers who spoke regularly to us on Sunday mornings. He was portrayed to me as a personal, loving, caring, kind, compassionate God whom we could communicate with directly, and who was our constant guardian and guide. He became more real to me when I accepted him as my personal Savior. His love became evident and apparent as I grew in my faith and commitment to him. Over the years, I have seen him answer many of my prayers. We pray for happy, healthy, loving children and grandchildren before they were even born. We pray for suitable, loving, caring spouses for each of them. We pray for family and friends, not only when they are going through difficult times, but on a daily basis. We saw how God answered our prayers when he healed Alwina's brother Robert after he had a torn aorta. All the doctors, nurses, and staff who needed to be there were there on the day we brought him in, which helped him to survive. There are also cases where God does not heal people, even though we have prayed that he would. More often than not, if that person had a strong faith and commitment to God, their testimony lives on after they pass away. Their lives touch the lives of others in a positive way. God's name is honored through them. I pray for sunshine, rain, and God's blessing on our crops that we grow each year. I pray for pig prices to go up when they're down, and I thank him when they are high. I thank God for our daily bread and the many blessings he sends our way. I thank him for many things each day. I pray for wisdom, knowledge, and the right words to say each time I come up here. I pray for our pastors and for each person who takes part in our Sunday morning worship services. I encounter Jesus daily because I try to communicate with him daily. I don't always take enough time to listen to him because I think I'm so busy and have so many things to do which are or seem to be more important. Sometimes, though, it's good to take a step back and just take some time to sit in silence and allow God to access your thoughts and your heart so that he can fill you with his love and his peace. It gives us a different perspective in life and may change our thoughts and actions towards ourselves and towards others. God wants to meet each of us. He has a plan for us. He gives us strength to fulfill his plan, and he has a purpose for our lives. The Lord used Ananias to fulfill the plan he had for Paul. In Acts 9:13-16, it says, "But Lord," said Ananias, "I've heard about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and we hear that he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest every believer in Damascus. But the Lord says, go and do what I say. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for me." Paul was chosen by God for a specific purpose. After his conversion, he immediately began proclaiming who Jesus was. Some of the people who heard him were skeptical, since he had been so violently opposed to the believers before his dramatic transformation. God gave him strength. God gave him the desire to spread his word to everyone. God always strengthens those he sends. Some other examples in the Bible. Moses. He was hesitant to take on the challenge of delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. Gideon, he was a timid man, but God enabled him to defeat the mighty Midianite army with just 300 men. Elijah was only one man who conquered the 450 false prophets of Baal by obeying the instructions that God gave him. David, small in stature, but he killed the giant Goliath, knowing that God was with him and that he would protect him. So when God taps you for service, even something you've never done before, don't hide behind, "I can't," or "I don't know how," or "I'm not strong enough." God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. He equips us to serve him, often in small ways. It is not aptitude or our abilities, but our attitude that counts. There's a story about a couple who were out distributing food boxes in a low-income housing complex. They came to an apartment where they heard arguing through the door, but they decided to knock anyway. A man opened the door and asked what they wanted. One of the visitors said, "We don't want anything. we just wondered if you know anyone who could use some groceries. Why are you doing that? The man asked. Just to let the people know that God loves them. What? The man said. We're just handing out boxes of food to let people know that God loves and cares for them. The man stared and said, I can't believe this. I just lost my job yesterday, and now here you are at the door. The visitors offered to pray with them, and the couple accepted that offer. As they were leaving and the door was being closed, they heard the husband say to his wife, See, honey, I told you God cares. We thought he wasn't paying attention to us, but he sent these people here to make sure we knew. Michael Luke said, Too many people make excuses as to why they can't serve. Can you bake a cake? Can you cook some food item? Can you cut someone's grass? Can you call people and give them an encouraging word? Can you do housework? Can you do handiwork? Can you donate anything of value? Can you stop along your way and give a smile? Can you take an interest in someone else's life? The thing is, you have to be willing to serve. You have to care about the needs of others. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:10, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Paul never lost sight of the fact that he had been determined to destroy God's church. Yet he was not on a guilt trip, but a grace trip, as he remembered the merciful God who transformed him from a persecutor of Christ's body to an advocate of Jesus. It was the living Jesus who transformed this antagonist into an apostle. The same Jesus who changed Paul will change you. Encountering Jesus, it's not that difficult. It's not that hard. Take the time, make the effort, reap the reward. Amen.
Let's respond. Feel free to stand with us.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is I
fullness of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. His nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Let's pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you, be with you all as you go from here. Amen.